Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. On this Tuesday evening in the state of Wisconsin, great to be with you, fellow Wisconsinites. This is seems like a regular Tuesday in ordinary time, as they used to say when I was a kid going to church, but it's not. This is Oscar nomination Tuesday, ONT, as I call it, around the Schwabba house. That's right. The Oscar nominations were announced today. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And this is usually the time of year when I panic and go, oh my gosh, I've seen almost none of the movies, but I will say I'm more caught up than usual, probably because I host Nightlight and kind of feel like I need to be. So it is ONT, Oscar nomination Tuesday. Great to have you with me. As usual, Conrad is here. Conrad, you are here, right? Ready to take texts and calls?
I think I'm here.
Okay. You can even send Conrad a sext. I don't think he cares, you know?
I think I do care.
Probably depending on who it's from, though, right? Before I go on any further, Conrad, every once in a while, and when I say every once in a while, I mean almost every night, we get a text from a member or two of Conrad's family. And last night, we missed a text from Aunt Carla. Conrad, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read that. Where can I find that? Here it is, right here. Aunt Carla texted us last night. And where was the text, Conrad? I'm missing it. There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I got it. This is 608, Carla from Baraboo. This weekend, I went over the quiz with Conrad. This is a How Wisconsin Are You quiz that Conrad and I and Stuart Waddles and Rico from Rock County took. She said she got all of them.
Yeah, she got all of them.
She's sitting in LA at the airport listening on the Civic Media app. Always appreciate that. And she took the How Wisconsin Are You quiz. And I assume she was more Wisconsin than anyone at LAX, although you never know. So, and we've already got a text too from the 414. Thanks, guys. You're very welcome. I don't know what they're thanking us for. But anyway, so Conrad is here. Feel free. We love it when you join in, when you share your thoughts on the show, whether it's the question of the day or just in general, thoughts on what we're talking about, movies and TV, whatever you're watching, we'd love to hear from you. 920-264-0606. Feel free to reach out throughout the course of the show. My guests tonight are Mike Siegel from If These Walls Could Talk and What You Get for the Money and TBS's Movie Break. He will join me just before the 9 o'clock hour. And I'm very excited because tonight we continue our conversation with David Patterson. He's the writer and producer of the film Bridge to Terabithia, based on the book his mother wrote, the Newbery Award winner, that was based on David's experiences. So we ran out of time last week. We invited Dave back. We decided to make it kind of a mini-series. And then I'm joined by also two civic media personalities, which I'm very excited about. Mike Clemens will give us an update on the Bucks firing of head coach Adrian Griffin. Conrad, am I getting that right?
You got it.
Okay. He's my go-to guy for sports. And Todd Albaugh will be here in just a minute. Fresh off the State of the State address. He can give us an update on that. But first, I have to say, okay, so we got some birthdays today. Mariska Hargitay. I always say Hartigay. She's a star of SVU, which has been on for like 25 seasons. Talk about a run. But we have my favorite Mariska Hargitay scene all queued up, and it was from when she was on Seinfeld, and she insults George when they're casting the pilot about Jerry. So go ahead and play that, Conrad.
Melissa Shannon.
Hi.
Hi.
Melissa is reading for Elaine.
It's like a bald convention out there. Sorry, I made a faux pas.
No, you didn't. He knows he's bald.
So how about the guy wearing sweatpants? I mean, did he do that for the part? Does he walk around like that?
Okay, shall we start?
You know what? I'll read with her.
Oh, great.
Oh.
All right, want to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that look?
What look?
That look you just gave me.
I gave a look?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's see some more Kramers.
Oh, they let George be a producer and a writer, and he wielded his power. Also, it is John Hancock's birthday today, a guy so famous they named an autograph after him, and Richard Dean Anderson, which leads us, he was MacGyver on TV. That leads us to tonight's question. What are you the MacGyver of? My dad is like the MacGyver of home repair. He can always think of some way to repair something that I never would have thought of. I'm the MacGyver of laundry. If I forget to do laundry, I can sniff around and find some kind of combination of clothes that are passable. And Todd Alba's in the studio right now, and I'm going to warn you. I've worn this undershirt a couple days already, Todd, but it was passable because I'm the MacGyver of finding clothes to wear that should probably be washed. So what are you the MacGyver of? That's what I want to know. Text us and let us know. 920-264-0606. Big releases on this day. Casablanca. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Material Girl. There we go. I don't speak English very well. Todd Alba's here. Hey, Todd.
How you doing?
From the Todd Alba Show on Civic Media. This is awesome. Thank you for stopping by and having you in the studio is a real treat.
I am so excited to be here with you and Conrad. And I've said this before because I came up and was on with Mino and the mayor. Well, not on with them, but they were on our show. And
okay.
We did it here in the studio. And honest to goodness, you guys, you have a beautiful studio. I've been to a lot of them on Civic Media. Green Bay is a darn nice one.
Wow, thank you. It's good to know. I have not been to many of them. One in Madison's beautiful, obviously, but this is the only other one I know, so that's good to know. We're being well-housed here. So you're fresh off the State of the State address. How did that go?
It was fantastic. Co-anchored it with our Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell.
It was fantastic.
He's fantastic. And Nate Wiggehout was on the board and doing a great job of engineering, as he always does.
Yeah.
And, I had the Governor Tony Evers address and also the Republican response from Majority Leader Devin Lemieux. And we took both of those for our listeners, and then Terry and I discussed a little bit. So very interesting. I would say, you know, the governor is someone who I never worked for a governor, but I worked for a Senate majority leader.
That's right, yeah.
I've written speeches like that. I think on the whole, probably one of the better ones that I've seen Governor Evers give. He looked natty tonight, a good fitting suit, a nice tie. Okay. His hair was good. It's always important. I mean, people laugh at this, but if you're watching it on TV, it's the old one, Richard Nixon and Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's how you look, not just how you sound, especially on TV. So I thought that was good. And substantive-wise, I thought the governor did a good job of trying to pick out a couple of things like roads and the budget surplus and balanced budgets where he worked with Republicans. He also called the Republicans out for not releasing funds for PFAS that we've already been talked about or already been passed by the legislature. And he also, probably the best line of the night, I got the, so this is paraphrasing because I left my notebook, of course, in the other room. But the governor started talking about women's reproductive rights, which, of course, is going to be a big issue in Wisconsin and other places here in 2024. And he brought up the last Republican nominee for governor, Tim Michaels. And he said, you know, Tim Michaels, and he called it by name and said, you know, the Republican nominee for governor last time wanted to get rid of these reproductive rights for women and more. And you might notice he's not here giving the speech tonight. I thought that was...
Whoa. That's right up there with the President Kennedy was a friend of mine.
right.
On a state level.
Yeah. No, so I thought that was kind of funny and good. And so, yeah, it was a good speech. He also declared 2024 the year of the worker in Wisconsin. And I think both policy-wise, because Wisconsin's at record low unemployment, but also politic-wise, it was a good thing because we know that the more we talk about working people, and we do it on this network, I know Rick Hansen talks about it on his show, the national show, we talk about working people. You know, I think we're here in Green Bay. There's a lot of working people. Green Bay is a working person town, and I think that resonates with voters. So there's a quick skinny on the State of the State today.
That's excellent. What is, how is the Todd Alba show treating you since it's named after you? Are you It's a great show. You guys should check it out if you haven't. It's on from 12 to noon. Yeah, 12 to noon every day.
12 to 2. Yep.
12 to 2. Sorry.
That's fine. Other than the host, it's going well. No. And, as a matter of fact, it was a great show today because I was not hosting. I was doing a couple of family things up around this neck of the woods and then kind of preparing for the State of the State tonight. So Trigby Olson, who's on the show every Wednesday, and he'll be on tomorrow, he guest hosted. He did a great job. He had Joe Trippi, a longtime Democratic operative, ran Howard Dean's campaign.
Yeah, sure.
And then he also had Stuart Stevens, a longtime, now former Republican operative. He left the party in 2019, wrote a great book called The Republican Party. No, called It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
And it's a fascinating book. And they talked about the New Hampshire primary. Of course, Trump won tonight going away. Probably maybe Nikki Haley limps through her home state, but I think solidifies Trump as Republican nominee. So it was a great show today. And tomorrow we're going to be over at Bull Falls Radio in Wausau doing the show live over there.
So you're heading over there after your stop in Green Bay.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, heading over really there tomorrow. Cool. And we got the dean of the 2-year college at Wausau, UW Stevens Point, Wausau, is going to be on. And also Jeff Nania, a great author of books focusing on northern rural Wisconsin. We're going to talk to him about being a writer and author, rural Wisconsin, and what he's heard as he's traveled around now over 100 stops around Wisconsin, listening to people and talking with people who's read his book.
He's almost as busy as you with all the traveling.
He's busier. Yeah. I love going around and seeing the state, right? It's a great
place. That's so great. Well, I'm glad you're here because if you can stick around for a few minutes, I'd love to talk. We kind of tend to talk about, we talk about every night. We talk about movies and TV and fun Wisconsin stuff. So I would love to. Have you seen any of the Oscar-nominated films?
I'm perusing here. See, here's where the rubber hits the road. I can either lie and make it more interesting, or I can, my theme our show is pursuing truth wherever it may lead.
But this isn't your show, so you can lie through the teeth if you want. Okay.
I've seen them all.
And I love them all. They're all very worthy recipients of the
nomination. But I can talk about them. I'm familiar. There are a couple of surprises.
Yeah, there are, for sure. And we'll talk about that. Okay, Todd Alba is here. He's going to stick with us, and we're going to talk about Oscar nominations next and the movie Casablanca. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Speaking of working class people, as Todd Alba made reference to, we get played in by the boss. So,
fantastic.
Conrad, do you know this this 414 text line? It just says, thanks, guys.
That might have been from a different show.
Maybe some. But the number looks familiar.
Unless I want to thank you right away.
Thank you in advance, Pete, for all the things you bring to our airwaves. I seriously doubt that. But okay, so Todd Alba is with me. Host of the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media from 12 to 2 every day. I mistakenly said 12 to noon. You tend to stretch your show out a little longer than that.
Some days when you start, you're like, maybe it should have gone from 12 to noon.
It should have checked out a little early.
Right.
So, and Mike Clemens will be along shortly to talk about the firing of Adrian Griffin, the Bucks coach. That is a surprise. So today, before I ask Todd about nominations and movies and what he's watching on TV, Casablanca was released on this day years and years ago. And it's one of my favorite movies. I've seen parts of it over the years. Yeah. And then I just finally sat about 3 months ago, Todd, and watched the whole thing all the way through. And I get it now. And it's one of those films. So many films don't withstand the test of time or they look dated. It's dated because it's black and white, but have you seen it? It's just such a phenomenal show.
In fact, it was one of the movies that was required watching in my broadcast and film class at UW Platteville back in the day, back in the 90s, probably way before Conrad was even a twinkle in his parents' eyes.
I doubt that. Conrad, I can't talk tonight. What is happening to me? It's like English is my second language
right now. Have drink. My old mayor left a whiskey flask here.
Hey, I'm all about an old-fashioned on ONT, Oscar nomination Tuesday. Right, yeah. 1942, Casablanca came out, and here's a very famous scene from it. It's Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. Let's play that, Conrad.
If you don't mind, you fill in the names. That'll make it even more official.
You think of everything, don't you?
And the names are Mr. and Mrs. Victor Laszlo.
But why my name, Richard?
Because you're getting on that plane.
I don't understand. What about you?
I'm staying here with him till the plane gets safely away.
No, Richard, no. What has happened to you last night?
Last night we said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then. It all adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane with Victor where you belong.
But, Richard, no one...
Now, you've got to listen to me. You have any idea what you'd have to look forward to if you stayed here? 9 chances out of 10, we'd both wind up at a concentration camp. Isn't that true, Louis?
I'm afraid, Major Strauss, I would insist.
You're saying this only to make me go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilse, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now. He's looking at you, kid.
So, famous line, famous score, great music, and there are some signature moments from the film. Here's Looking at You, Kid is one of them. Play It Again, Sam, all that stuff. But I have to say, when I watched the film a few months ago, just the supporting character that I love the most was Rick's American Cafe. I just wanted to hang out there.
Right.
And these people, and he's cutting a deal over here with a spy, and there's people just having a great time. I mean, such a great movie. It just totally holds up.
Not just the score and the script, the acting, but just the cinematography, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the way it looks. It's just got this classic film look. And I'm not sure if you remember, but, you know, Johnny Carson, there were so many, you know, skits and bits that Carson did back in the day on The Tonight Show with the whole, here's Looking at You, Kid. You know, and they do different stuff with that. So, I mean, it is Americana. I remember that movie. And I remember Citizen Kane were the two movies that we really studied back in college.
We did a deep dive about 3 weeks ago with a friend of mine named Frank Anderson, who runs a website called Wisconsinology on Citizen Kane and Orson Welles. And it was just, you know, his connections to Wisconsin and Kenosha. And
right.
What an incredible life that guy had. Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned that. Have you seen any of the, I'm talking with Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, who's joining me for a little bit here in the studio, which is always fun. What have you seen, Todd, this year? Or if you haven't seen the Oscar, you got enough on your plate with politics.
I'm a terrible guest on this because I'll tell you what it is. And I'd be interested. People should text or whatever. I'd be interested in other people's opinion on yours and Conrad's. Because of the pandemic, I have hardly gone to the movie theaters. And not because I'm freaked out about COVID or anything. I think I just got in the habit for about 2.5 years of not going because of COVID.
Okay.
And I've just kind of never gone back. Part of it is because I have no life. I don't want to go alone necessarily, but also I think I just get busy and I kind of forget about it. But there are movies. The last movie I saw in the theater was probably Maverick, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, sure. that was
That's
good.
The one that they say brought people back.
Right. And brought me back, but I didn't go back, I guess. But I'm familiar with them. My sister, who, by the way, texted, she's listening. She says she loves the show.
Oh,
she's listening over at the tap over at Chippewa Falls, WCFW.
Thank you, Todd's sister.
Yeah, Heather is over there. But she and her husband, Mike, have two girls, my two nieces, and they went and saw Barbie together, and she loved it. So she doesn't mind me saying this, but she just turned 50, and she looks not a day over, 49. No, yeah. she looks like 38. Anyway, she took my two nieces, and she said for a woman, for a mom to go to this movie together, she said, I didn't expect to walk out of Barbie crying. And have you seen it?
I have. I have a weird story about Barbie. I went with my kids, and my son wasn't with us. He was still in Madison, but my daughter, my wife, her sister, and some cousins. I was the only one out of like 10 that didn't wear pink. And I felt like people were looking at me like, oh, what's that meatballs problem? You know, he's got, and I just don't own pink. And my wife said, hey, you got that shirt. It's really cool. It's salmon colored. I go, that just looks even weirder. Like, hey, I'm too cheap to go out and buy a pink shirt. So right. Anyway, I did like it. It was good. Okay, yeah. But there are a lot of people are saying Greta Gerwig got snubbed.
Yep.
She did not get a best director nominee. And I agree with that.
I agree too.
Margot Robbie, maybe. Ryan Gosling, I don't get that.
Yeah.
He gets it, but Margot Robbie, that was just strange. I don't know what they're thinking.
You still kindly put some notes in front of me. I'm looking at this. I think the biggest snub that's going to get talked about, the color purple.
Yeah, you don't snub Oprah.
Exactly. You nailed it on the head, Swaba. Hollywood will pay for snubbing Oprah.
She's going to make her own network, just her own network. No one else will be able to look at it. Talking movies here with Todd Alba. He can stick around a little bit, right,
yeah,
Todd? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Clemens comes up next. He's coming up next with a little update on what's going on with the Bucks. They just fired their coach. And then we'll ask Mike what he's watching, because Mike always, he's really up. Mike is like really
into
movies. Yeah, I don't know how the guy finds the time, but that's coming up next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just playing call the everywhere. As she told me, it can break your heart and put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in. Tonight's question, what are you the MacGyver of? It is Richard Dean Anderson's birthday today. He, of course, played MacGyver on the TV show. As I explained before, I'm the MacGyver of finding dirty laundry that's passable to wear on any given day. Conrad, what are you the MacGyver of?
I think I'm the MacGyver of useless sports facts.
Okay, you got one for us?
Yeah, sure, I got one. Until 1936, a jump ball took place after every single basket.
How about that?
Ooh, until 1936?
Yeah. So before 1936, you scored a basket, jump ball.
See, that is fantastic right there. You got a rock star producer.
He's the MacGyver of useless sports.
That reminds me, when I worked in politics, my former boss, Dale Schultz, state senator. And, I would just have, a lot of like just pop culture stuff, right, in my head. And so we pulled into a place to, he was giving a speech. And I said, hey, don't forget, it was some pop culture thing that had happened today. So work that into your remarks just out of the blue. Because you want your boss to sound like he's, on the ball. And he stopped and he looked at me, and I'll clean it up for radio. He said, God, you know a lot of useless crap, but I'm sure glad you do. not to say, Conrad, that was useless crap. I find that very interesting.
I'm also glad they did away with that rule, though. I will say holy smokes. This final score would be 14-12 in an NBA game. That's hilarious. All right. So Todd is the MacGyver of political factoids, Conrad of useless sports facts, me of my fashion that is borderline dirty. What are you the MacGyver of? Text us and let us know, 920-264-0606. Or you can text on the app. It's very easy. Click any one of the stations, because we're on statewide. Listen there, and there's a text icon right under. You just click text and Fire away. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Now, I'm very excited. I've got Todd here, one Civic Media personality. We're about to welcome in another one of my favorite Civic Media personalities, Mike Clemens, our sports guru. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pete. Hey, guys.
How are you?
Pretty good.
So are you here?
Better than Adrian Griffin.
Boy, oh, boy. Yeah, you have gainful employment, and he no longer does. Do they have to pay him, Mike, his whole contract? I would imagine they do, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to be Adrian Griffin right now.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of a blow to the ego. But
Am I? You know, it's funny. When you get a text that this has happened, it's like, what? Right. But, you know, I mean, as I'm running around and settling in and making calls and trying to confirm some things, and then Wojnarowski from ESPN confirms it, it's like, you know, you had this little feeling that things weren't going right. But, God, this is abrupt. I mean, they're not kidding around.
30-13.
Yeah, so, you know, here's what I know. First, the big question is, okay, who made this decision? Is this Wes Edens? I mean, not to take away from John Horse. He's grown into a good basketball general manager. But, I mean, who's making this call?
Yeah.
This is ugly, man. This is ugly.
The first thing I thought of was a human resources thing or something. It's so odd.
Wes Edens and Mark Lasry represent a group of investors, mostly hedge fund boys from New York, that buy the bucks from Herb Kohl. And after about 4 or 5 years, and after winning that championship, Lasry and Edens were getting to the point where these guys weren't talking to each other. Like one night it would be Wes Edens and his daughter and Aaron Rodgers, and then the next night it would be Lasry in those seats. Those guys weren't even talking to each other. Mm. And then Lasry's son tried to run for Senate. That didn't, happen. And then a few months after that campaign, he announces he's out, and they found a buyer. And Mark did it, and I've been around Mark more when they first came to town and they wanted to talk to media people. And I know he had this conversation. It was like in a podcast with a couple guys where they're talking. This was just before they get into the playoffs with the Miami Heat. And he was the, recent departed part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. And they said, well, so, you're heading into the playoffs. What do you think about Coach Bud? He says, interesting story. He said, one night, we're playing this team, and I can't remember the team and the player, but it was a star player. And he said, this guy's just tearing us up, like through three quarters. And then, finally, things turn around. Giannis kind of gets us back in the game, and we win. So after things was over and things had sort of died down, he says, I said to Bud, that guy was really tearing us up. How come you didn't make any adjustments? And Budenholzer said, because I knew at some point he was going to run out of gas.
Oh,
okay. And that's what turned out to be true. 2 weeks later, they're playing the Miami Heat. Giannis goes down with a back injury. Jimmy Butler just tears them up for the next 3 or 4 nights. And they, instead of Bucks and six, it's, Heat and five. And I've kept that story in my mind. Then they introduced Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy and Dee Haslam from Cleveland,
right.
They own the Flying J and the Pilot gas stations around the country, and they're the ones that own the Cleveland Browns. Now, you're aware of the turnover and the knee-jerk reactions that they've made in Cleveland, since they started with, Baker Mayfield. He went through two or three coaches and four or five offensive coordinators. Constant turnover. Well, he's now sitting at the table of the Bucks. Wes Edens is running that place, to the best, everything that I can tell and from what I hear. But that's also one of your new partners, too. So you get into the season. They have this big spread. The start of a new era. We're hiring Adrian Griffin. Yes, he's our first African-American head coach. And a guy who played in the leagues for many years and now has been working hard as an assistant coach. He's with the Raptors when they won, for 3 years. And when they brought him in, Wes Edens says, he was blowing us away in the meetings with how good he was at scheming things offensively. So they get the season up and rolling, and it's like, okay, great. We put up 130 points, but, the opposing team put up 125. I mean, we're not very good on defense. And we got all these shooters. We got a player like Giannis. But, got to improve that defense. And kept on saying that. I was saying that in my reports and in the times that I could see some of these Bucks games and cover them in person. Last week, they got to a game where they played the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Cleveland's it's an average team. They've got some good players, but they're average. And they beat them by 40. They beat the Bucks by 40.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 22-2 in the first 6 minutes of it. Like, what is going on? And I was listening to our Bucks play-by-play broadcast on our Civic Media stations as I was packing for San Francisco, and Dave Cohen goes, wow, yeah, again, a final, was it 135-95, you know, Cleveland over the... And Giannis had sat out that night with a shoulder contusion, a bruised shoulder. But Dave said, yeah, I wonder how Giannis is going to react to this. And that was, to me, that was like, okay, Dave's with them every day. Like, Giannis is the only one who's going to, you know, chew these guys out? Right. That's supposed to be the head coach. And so, you know, you listen more carefully to, like, that press conference, and he's like, yeah, we got to do better. Yeah, we got a good team, but we got to do better. And I think that at the end of the day, Adrian Griffin, you know, in his first year as head coach, didn't want to lose the locker room. It ended up costing him his job.
Well, is it is it like charisma or the way he represented the teams after losses like that?
Well, this is what I'm trying. I mean, I don't know how much indication this there was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is Giannis going to the guys and saying, "We're not gonna get through the finals with this guy." I don't know. That's what I've been trying to figure out this afternoon, because I don't think there was an incident, you know, an incident.
Hey, Mike.
Obviously, though, there was just a growing feeling like, this guy ain't going to get us there.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, it's
43 games.
It's Todd. I still appreciate your reporting, and this is why I love listening to you, because you're an inside guy. You're around these people, not just when they're playing, but off the court. You have relationships. Help a guy. You know, I'm a hardcore Badger fan, pretty hardcore Packer fan. I'm a casual Bucks fan, to be honest. Help sort this out. Because everything we were hearing when Budenholzer got hired was, look, they let the ownership at the time let Giannis go out to lunch with this guy and basically let Giannis make the call that Budenholzer was the guy. Then when he got let go, that Giannis had to sign off on Adrian Griffin. In your opinion, is this Giannis? Because, I mean, after a couple of these games, Joey said, look, I have to do better. We have to do better as players. The coaches have to do better. Is there something to it? Did you think this is Giannis, as you said, going to the current ownership and saying, I didn't renew my contract for this, so let's make a change?
If you spent five minutes with Adrian Griffin, the same question in the back of your mind would be, where's the ass bleep in this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't make the hair stand up in the back of your neck.
Yeah.
He's an assistant. He's not a head coach. Assistant coaches or head coaches, they come in the room and everyone stands at attention.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a quick story. I got to go. They let me go one-on-one with them on the day that they had this beautiful, you know, starting of a new era, a wonderful event, and food and people, and it was great. I had people from around town. And I got them off to the side. And I just said, by the way, how'd you find out you got the job? Tell me about that moment. Think how special that was for this guy.
Yeah.
That he worked to this. He goes, oh, it's kind of funny. He says, you know, we'd met like was Tuesday and Wednesday. He turned to one of the PR directors and says, can I tell him this? I go, yeah. I have this on tape. I played it on our reports. He goes, yeah. My agent called me Friday morning and said, hey, they want to meet with you again. I think we're there. I think we're at the goal line. Don't blow this meeting. Okay. So he goes down there and meets with them again. And there's Wes and there's John Horst, a couple of other people. And Wes Enos is like, hey, how you doing? Hey, great night last night, huh? Yeah. And he's kind of waiting for a call or something. Then he looks at his phone, and Wes Enos picks it up, and he shows it to him. On Twitter, it says, you know, ESPN reporting, Adrian Griffin is the new head coach of the Bucks. He goes, well, if it's on ESPN, it must be true. And that's how they told him.
Wow.
That's how they,
that's crazy.
That precious moment, they
wow.
made a shtick out of it.
Holy
hey, look, it's being reported.
Crap.
You know,
which is like, that messes with a dude's mind. Like, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
I know some people in Cleveland, and I've heard a lot of the Haslam talk, and that seems to be a common denominator here. Not that I don't know anything about the Bucks hierarchy or who owns what, but when you said that name, it just set off like a trigger. And you know what? If defense is their problem, Mike, we've talked about this on the show before. Maybe the Bucks need to hire Joe Barry to to help him out defensively.
There's a good point.
Or Jim Leonard.
But speaking of the next,
here's the rumor mill, of course, starts turning. What's to this rumor that they want to bring Doc Rivers back to Milwaukee?
I know, Todd. And guess what? I mean, you know, he took the Celtics, I think it was 08. He took them to a finals, and they won. Okay, yeah. Great. You know, from Marquette. He's 62, though, man.
Right?
He looked burned out when the 76ers let him go last May.
Yeah.
And here's the point. They didn't hire Adrian until the end of June. I mean, they could have hired Doc Rivers.
Right.
They could have hired Doc Rivers then. That's what this mess is.
Doc Rivers almost seems like a sort of a Band-Aid or like a PR. Yeah. Oh, look, we're bringing Doc Rivers home or whatever. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, Coach Budenholzer's just sitting around doing nothing, right?
Hey, I'll come back.
I mean, how much you got to pay him to bring him back? I don't know.
It's just, you know, you want a young, fiery coach, you know, that's going to be the next era, that's going to build this program. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's got to be a guy who they got to think like, okay, we're going to win at least one more while Giannis is still here.
Exactly.
And then I got to be left holding the bag.
Exactly.
And continue this program without him.
You got a name for us, Mike?
No, that's what I've been trying all. Listen, half the world's in shock. They're still trying. Did this really happen? What the hell? They're still trying to figure out how did this happen?
Yeah.
Maybe he had bad table manners. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know. Didn't put his napkin on his lap. It just doesn't make sense.
It's sad to me. It's sad because they got the best player in the NBA, and they're letting it slip away, to your point, Mike.
Yeah. Well, again, is it Giannis going to these guys and saying, hey, this ain't working out, man?
Right. Hey, Mike. You got to come back this week, and we got to do like some end of the year Packers talk. Can we get you back here?
We're hoping to talk to Gutekunst, yes, before the week is over. We can recap, you know, the to do list for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst moving
forward. Awesome. All right, I'll reach out to you tomorrow, buddy.
Thanks for the update. Good to
appreciate
talk to you, Todd.
Take
care.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a great night. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own. Todd Alba's with me, and in just a couple minutes, the host of If These Walls Could Talk joins us. A good friend of mine, Mike Siegel. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text us and let us know. 920-264-0606. Todd Alba's in the studio with me tonight. This is exciting. He was co-hosting Civic Media's coverage of the Governor's State of the State speech and the Republican response. And now he's here to talk a little bit of movies and TV.
Yeah.
And Mike Siegel is coming up in just a couple minutes. So
sweet.
We'll talk to Mike about
I'm just here to get Pete Schwabe's coffee. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd stop by.
I'm going
to
pay the price for this. This is coffee, and it's 8:30 at night.
See, I'm one of those weird people that I can drink coffee at night and fall asleep in 20 minutes. But if I don't have it in the morning, my family knows don't talk to Todd until he's had his coffee.
Listen, you know what I did, Todd, recently, about 14 months ago? I just said, you know what? I'm just going to stop drinking for a while and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my family asked if I was okay. And, you know,
sure.
Yeah, right. In Wisconsin. Yeah. No, but I haven't had a drink now in 14 months. And I don't know why.
Wow.
It's not like it's court ordered or anything. Yeah. I just was like taking a break. And now it's 14 months. But my point is, man, do I look forward to that cup of coffee in the morning. That's like my...
Your thing.
Yeah, it's like looking forward to that cocktail at 6 o'clock or 3 o'clock, for wherever you live. That cup of coffee in the morning, I'm with you. It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it really is.
So,
And there's some good coffee places all across Wisconsin.
So. Absolutely. You know, my personal favorite, Pete's Coffee.
Okay.
Which you guys have down in Madison.
Yep.
You know,
I'm a big fan of Wonder State Coffee. It's located in Viroqua, Wisconsin, just south of La Crosse in the Driftless area. They're one of only 5 all-solar roasteries in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wonder State Coffee. They have a shop in Madison and up in Bayfield right for our Hayward Campbell. Listeners. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep, up in Bayfield. There's a shop in Viroqua as well. I was just out in Fort Collins seeing friends in Colorado, a great little place called Lima Coffee. Should you find yourself in Fort Collins, Colorado, Lima Coffee. It was honestly one of the top coffee shops I've ever been to, and I used to own a coffee shop.
You did? Oh, yeah. Nice. So maybe you can comment on this, because I've heard a friend of mine is like super into coffee.
Yeah.
He said the Starbucks, is it Howard Schultz and the guy that owns Pete's were partners in Starbucks, and they had a falling out or something, and Starbucks burns their beans to make it more bitter, and Pete's does not.
I worked for that. Starbucks was actually the first job in coffee I ever had. Long story, but it was. They have great systems, and they do have a little bit of good quality coffee, but yes, to the point, the quick down low on coffee is too many places buy a low quality of coffee, and just like good quality food, coffee, wine have good flavors, bad quality have bad flavors. So what major corporations, a lot of companies do, they buy low quality coffee, they over roast it, essentially they burn it. So what you taste is the burnt. And people say, oh, I like coffee, but it's so bitter, I've put milk and sugar into it. If you drink good quality coffee that's not over roasted, you don't have to do that. And anytime you see like a dark shine on coffee, and places say, oh, this is French roast or dark roast, that's crap. You should never drink coffee that's shiny on the outside. You should only drink it as like a brown matte finish on the bean.
Really?
Yep.
All right. So, and I just found this out recently. Let's bring in Mike Siegel. He likes a nice cup of coffee. Hi, Mike.
Is this Hot Cup of Joe talk?
This is Hot Cup of Joe talk, and I'm gonna tell everyone who Mike is in a second. But I wanted you to hear this, Mike, because I welcome you to weigh in. I heard recently. I always thought dark roast meant it was much stronger.
No,
because it tastes stronger. No. But medium roast kicks your butt and gives you like. And I like dark roast, so I was happy to hear that.
The highest caffeine content in a coffee drink is that which is exposed to water the longest. Caffeine content is based on the time that coffee is exposed to water, not on the roast.
Oh, my gosh. All right, that's Civic Media's Todd Alba, folks. He knows politics and he knows coffee. And joining Todd and me now is a very good friend of mine and the former host of If These Walls Could Talk, Mike Siegel. Mike, hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me, Pete. I got to correct you real quick because it's actually If Walls Could Talk. There's no these in it.
Oh, you know what's so funny? I know why I'm saying that, because your neighbor. You want to tell that story? Remember your neighbor, across the street? Oh, every time Mike would leave his house and I stayed with Mike,
right.
He would look at Mike and he would go, If these walls could talk. Like the guy couldn't even leave his house without the neighbor sitting over on the porch. So that's
a
where
fan.
I got
a fan
yeah,
is
he's a
born.
Total fan. That's where I got that from. But it was If Walls Could Talk.
If Walls Could Talk. Funny. Yeah, it ran on HGTV for a number of years. I think you can still find it out there on like Amazon Prime. One of the streamers still has it. You know, you can look it up.
And you were, that was like, I don't know how you don't have like Tom Cruise status, because everyone I talk to that your name would come up. Oh, yeah, I love that show. If Walls Could Talk, you know.
If Walls, yeah, that was fun. We shot about 110 of those over like a 4-year span. So, and they're out there. It's still floating around. I'm not getting paid for anything, of course. now,
thank you, cable. Yeah.
Hello. But it was really fun to do. And then I was at the same time, I had another show that was running on the same network called What You Get for the Money. Actually, it was a different network that it ended up being rerun on HGTV as well. Okay. And then we would compare home prices around the country. But If Walls Could Talk, we would just talk about the history of old houses, which was fun. You know, I'm a history buff, so it was great.
I'd love to be a buff. No, I love that.
Aren't you a coffee buff, Pete?
Well, I am now, thanks to Todd.
Yeah.
I don't, both of those shows are like, I never really got into that whole home show thing. Now my wife watches, you know, Mary, she watches like Selling Beverly Hills and all these, the Property Brothers. Your two shows were actually, it's like, I want to know what I get for my money in Denver or Miami or whatever. Like in Wisconsin, we get a lot more for our money. So
shows. What you would, it was depressing if you lived in Los Angeles or New York or someplace else really expensive.
Yeah.
Cause you just watch it all the time and you go, oh my God, I could go to Iowa and live like a king.
I could buy a farm. I don't farm, but I could own a farm. Very cheaply. So which show, all right, where do I want to go here, Mike? I have so much to talk to you about. Tell us about your
starring role in your movie. Was that that one? The Godfather of Green Bay?
This movie just came up.
Todd just asked me about this movie. He said he apparently Tom Lennon was in Barbie. And
I haven't seen Barbie. So.
Oh, you got to see Barbie. It's good. But I didn't know. Okay. I vaguely remember seeing Tom in a cameo, but I don't remember. So I had Lance Barber on Friday. So this has like been an all things Godfather of Green Bay. Civic Media is thinking I'm like purely just trying to push this 20-year-old title. Which
I got
to
see this now.
You got to see it. And you got to see Mike. He plays Tony Goldwyn's sidekick. He's got a mullet and he dances the Macarena. It's hilarious.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
People don't recognize me in it. People don't recognize me in it. Like our friends were like, is that Siegel in there? Yeah, it is.
It's so great. All right, Mike Siegel is here, folks. Todd Alba is here. If you stick around, great. If not, it's been great having you, Todd.
Hey, great to have you. You guys have a great interview. Thank you so much. Right. Appreciate it.
Always, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Coming up next, more with Mike Siegel, the host of If These Walls Could Talk. I'm Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.